Tonight's shiur in Parshas Vayera. Imagine a chashava guest comes to your house, Rosh Hashiva, and you welcome him in. Here, have a seat. You offer him something to eat, drink. He says, okay. He says, oh, wonderful. So you run into the kitchen, you grab some cake out of the closet, and you turn to your son, you say, okay, here, get something to drink. Bring it to the Rosh Hashiva. Oh, terrible tragedy just happened. You asked your son to bring the drink. Tragedy? Yes. What do we see? We see this Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is visited by the three guests, three malachim. And what happens? Most of the things to do to prepare for the guests, he does it himself. However, one thing he didn't. Yukach nami atmaim. So tells us Chazal that Ela Bakar Ratz Avraham, he ran himself to the Bakar, Hashem answered, and in the future Hashem was going to bring himself the slavim in the desert, the quail for meat. Lakach pas lechem, he took the bread, brought it, so Hashem himself brought the man. He accompanied them out, and therefore it says Hashem holeich liflehem, Hashem went and accompanied Chazal. Hashem did himself everything that Avraham did. But what Avraham did through a shaliach, as it says, yukach na me'at maim, some water was taken, he didn't do it himself, so the water in the midbar was also given through a shaliach, wasn't through Hashem himself, but rather through Moshe Rabbeinu, when he through the rock of Miriam. So you think, okay, so what's so terrible? Okay, so the water came through Moshe Rabbeinu. But we see what's so terrible. What was so awesome that here, had Hashem brought the water, everything would have been fine. In the end, it came through Moshe. What happened? As we know, Moshe, at one point when he brought the water, he hit the rock. Had he not hit the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu himself would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. Had he gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have been the Mashiach. As it says, Ad Yavo Shiloh, as Ki Yavo Shiloh, it says in the Pasuk, and Shiloh and Gematria is Moshe. He would have been the Mashiach, and he would have built the Beis HaMikdash, and Moshe Rabbeinu had built the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash would not have been destroyed, and for the last 3,300 years, we would have been through in Gula, not in Gullus. All that came because Hashem didn't bring the water, it came through Moshe. And why didn't Hashem give the water himself? Because Avram said to his son, here, you bring the water. So, the lesson being over here is that there are no small actions, just great repercussions. You think, big deal, so I didn't do it, my son did. What's the big deal? Don't realize that little actions have tremendous repercussions, especially when it comes to ruchnias. Example, the Chazal tell us that a person has to always feel that he's has half averas and half mitzvahs, and he has to feel that the whole world is that way. You never know. It could be right at this moment, the entire world is half and half. Half mitzvahs, half averas. One more mitzvah will tilt the scale to tzchus, or one avera will topple everything and the whole world can come to its conclusion. It could be all dependent on me. One word of Torah now, tip the scales for schus. A little bit of Torah now, say, big deal. So I'm not learning this moment. This moment could make a big difference, can make the whole world be destroyed. There's a beautiful Balatanya. It says a well-known mashal, when we see this idea, that our actions over here, they might seem like a big deal, but they have tremendous repercussions. He gives the mashal to the sunrise. He says, you know, you look at it and the sun starts to rise, and you see, well, you know, how much distance is it from the horizon, you know, from where I see the beginning right to where the sun went up. So you say, oh, look from here, a couple of meters. But Lamaisa, it's thousands of kilometers, really, the sun, the distance from the horizon to where the sun went to was thousands of meters. It looks to us like a little thing, but in actuality it's very great. So too, our actions seem like big deal, little things, but it has tremendous repercussions in the higher worlds. I like to give the mashal that, you know, they have in here in Eretz Yisrael very often, a lot of the things are built on mountains, and when you know, they have to excavate the mountains. So they use this thing. I don't know exactly what it's called, like an excavator, I think. They call it in Hebrew a bugger. This thing goes. Right? This guy sits in his booth, right, in this tractor. It looks like a huge tractor, and this arm comes out, and it drills into the rock and breaks up the rock. So once I was passing by, and I was thinking to myself, you know, this guy's sitting in this thing. What is he doing? He's pressing his little button. He's in an air-conditioned booth over here, pressing his little button with his thumb. Yeah, what is it? Nothing. And yet, what happens? This arm's going boom, 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 and it's breaking these huge boulders into many pieces. Well, what is he doing? Pressing a little button. So I was thinking, it's the same thing. We think, oh, what am I doing? Yeah, Shekalula, big deal. We don't realize that what tremendous things we're doing in the upper world. We're changing this world and the next world, and a huge, huge thing. We don't realize it. We think, what am I doing after all? Nothing, little thing. Learn a little, say a word of Torah here. That we don't realize what every mitzvah, the tremendous effect it has. And he says, we see it for the good, for the bad. For a person that says, puts his hand in his pocket and he picks out the wrong coin. That's called Yisurin. So that's going to take away some of his Gehenim for him. So again, the little thing, okay, well, big deal. I picked out a quarter instead of a nickel. Okay, so what? But that has a far-reaching effects in a person's what's future and is going to be in the next world. And the opposite is also true, though. Right, that if a person enjoys in this world, takes away from his enjoyment, he's going to have a next world. He can eat away his olam haba by the enjoyment he has in this world. Again, what's the big deal? So I added a piece of cake. You don't realize that that can take away from a person's olam haba. See, they realize that everything we do, for the positive and negative, has its outreaching and far great effects. Next. It says... in last week's Seder, Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayisa Lot Mikedem. And Lot traveled from Kedem. What does that mean? Rashi says, Kedem is a hint. Hisiya Atzmo, he traveled Mikadmono Shel Olam. Who's Kadmono Shel Olam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lot traveled away from Hashem. Amar, Iyef Shilo Be'Avram, Be'lo Be'Elokav. Meaning, says Rashi, he was saying, I don't want Avram, I don't want Avram's God, I want nothing to do with this. That's Vayisalot Mikedem. That was in last week's Seder. So Yaakov points out over here, he says, you see here, the stiras that are in a human being. What? On the one hand, last week's Seder, I don't want his God, I want nothing. And yet here, what do we see? He's Moser Nefesh for Hachnasas Orchim. He takes in these guests, and as it says in the Pasuk, Vayas Lem Mishteh, he makes a mishta for him. Umatzos afa v'yochelu. He made matzos. He made matzos. Pesach, he gives them matzos. He learned from Avram's house. Right? Here, this same Lot, which last week Sedra, doesn't want Avram or his God, and now here he is, being Moser Nefesh of the mitzvah, Hachanasas Orachim. So what is it? Is he a Rasha? He's a Tzadik. Person is self-contradictory, has these mixed up things inside of him. There's good, there's bad. See, it brings a few other examples. Korach and his men. Right? What did Korach want? He wanted to chol against Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah Min HaShemayim, right? Forget it. So what happens? He wants to get his group together, and he approaches On Ben Pelet, who agrees to join Korach's forces. But then he has misgivings on Ben Pelet, and he says to his wife, his wife says, what are you doing? Where are you going with Korach? What's the difference? Who's going to be your boss? Korach, Moshe. He goes, yeah, but I already agreed. So he goes, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. You just get in the tent. What does she do? She reveals her hair outside in the courtyard when Korach's men are meant to come by. What happens? They see her, oh, hair, woman's hair uncovered. Oh! Run away. Well, we can't go to deal with On right now. His wife's hair is uncovered. Oh, we have to... He says, what's going on over here? On the one hand, they're called against Moshe Rabbeinu as Nevuah and Torah Min HaShemayim and all the good tzachin. And on his end, they say, oh, a woman's hair uncovered. Oh, were they tzaddikim? Were they rishayim? Also, stira. Another example, Esav. Esav HaRasha, right? It says, Bo B'yom, says the Gemara Baba Rasa, he was Kafar Be'ikr, Ubiza Asa Avoda, which was the Bechoros. Okay, amongst other Averas that he did that day. And what happens? this Esav, who is, this is Kofar Biker. What does Kofar Biker mean? The nice guy. He's atheist. He becomes atheist. That's it. No such thing as God. Okay? What happens? Yaakovinu still takes his brachas from him. What does he say? He should say, who needs brachas? What's brachas? Some rabbi gives a brach. Who cares? Right? But no. He gets upset. He gets furious with Yaakov Avinu. How can he steal my brachas? And he plans, he makes a neder, he's going to kill Yaakov Avinu because he stole his brachas. What's going on here? What is it? The brachas of V'yitain Lacha Elohim. Where the brachas come from? Hashem. So, on the one hand, he's a kofar biker, an atheist, and therefore, but so what's the brachas mean? Nothing. His brachas come from God. On the other hand, he's, oh, he stole my brachas, I'm going to kill him, he stole my brachas. Brachas come from God. You're kofar, not a kofar. What's going on? Stira in a person. Brings here a cute story. He says one of the heads of the Histadrut, he was a total non-believer, put it that way. And one day, he said he was went to the beach to swim, and the undertow took him down, and he was drowning. So, as it happens, the lifeguard saw him. You know, he saw this guy bobbing up, drowning. So he quickly jumped on his little raft or whatever it is, and he swims out to this guy, and he hears something very strange. He hears this guy drowning, but as he's drowning, he's screaming out, "Ani lo chozer b'tshuva, ani lo chozer b'tshuva." He says, "I'm not chozer b'tshuva, I'm not chozer b'tshuva." As he's drowning, Strange. So anyway, so he grabs him up and he brings him to shore and he resuscitates him and he made it. So they asked him afterwards, "What's pshat? You're drowning and you say I'm not chozer b'tshuva." Okay, it says that the rishayim afilo pischel shebeginim einam chozrim b'tshuva. Okay, but they wanted to hear what he had to say. So listen to what he said. He said like this. He said that he grew up in a frum home. But he was a chassid, slonim or chassid. But then he said he got involved with the new spirit of things, and he left Yiddishkeit, and he decided he's going to join a group that's coming to Eretz Yisrael to start a kibbutz, in the beginning of the kibbutz movement. So he went to his father, obviously a religious chassid, and he told his father, "See you later, Dad. I'm leaving. I'm, going to Israel, going to start a kibbutz, whatever." So he said, his father said to him the following: "He goes, listen, I'll probably never see you again. And it's probably this is probably our last time we're going to see each other," which happened to have been true, by the way. And he said, "So I just have one request from you. That's all. What's that? Before you go, there's Israel now. Please just go to the Rebbe and ask for bracha for you leaving. So bracha, birchas preida, before you leave." So he said, "I wasn't so into Rebbes and brachas and anything like that. But as I say, last request. Father's last request. So okay, I'll say no." So he said, "I went to the Rebbe." And I went in, I put a keep on my head, and walked into Rebbe. Rebbe took one look at me, he knew exactly where I came from, where I was going to, he saw right through me. So, he said like this. He said, "Listen, you grew up here, but a person is Baal Bechira, a person has free choice, and you choose to, unfortunately take a different path. But," he says, "nothing's going to help you. Your roots are here, and you're not going to die without tshuva. Since your roots are here, you're not going to die without tshuva. I'm telling you right now." Okay. So he walked out of the Rebbe, took his kippah off his head, never put it back on again, and made his way to Eretz Yisrael. And then came our episode. Here he was drowning. So what? As he was drowning, what came to his mind? The Rebbe said that he's not going to die until he does tshuva. And therefore he's screaming, "I'm not doing tshuva! I'm not doing tshuva! I'm not doing tshuva!" He knew if he does tshuva, that would be the end of him. The Rebbe said he's not going to die until he does tshuva. So the Rebbe said, "I'm not going to do tshuva." So asked Rav Yaakov, he goes, "I don't understand this guy. Is this guy a kofar? Or is he a maimon?" Right? He says, if he's a kofer, then why is he believing in what the Rebbe promised? And if he's a believer, how come he didn't put on tefillin this morning? Again, that's the way people are. They're full of steers, he says. Next brings here a big yesod, a very important lesson for all of us. Starts off with a little maisa. Says Rav Yechiel Michal Feinstein, that's all. He had a daughter that had was sick with asthma, very serious asthma. And whenever she would have an attack, like she had trouble breathing, so they had like a machine, an inhalator, whatever you call it,
nebulizer.
Okay, to help her breathe. And because of her very serious situation, you know, they always made sure that, you know, wherever she was, there's always one of these machines nearby that she can quickly put on if she gets an attack. So what happened? One day she had an attack, and they couldn't find her machine. And then she was lying on the bed, she was choking, she couldn't breathe, and they're looking high and they're looking low, where's the machine? Until never was too late, and she passed away. Lost a daughter. What happened? Just after she died, they saw right next to the bed were three machines. Right there next to the bed where she was choking. They couldn't believe it. I mean, they're right there. They somehow it just escaped them. Right next to the foot of her bed were three machines. And they didn't see them. So you can imagine they had the terrible misgiving, like, you know, they felt like, you know, we caused her death, or, you know, we could have saved her, it was right there, it's not like, it was, why didn't we see it, how come we couldn't see it, etc. Anyways, so Rav Yaakov Galinsky, he went to the shiva of, you know, for the daughter, he went to the shiva house of Feinstein. And you can imagine what was the main topic of discussion at the shiva. This whole thing, why did, what would have been, we should have, how come we didn't see the machine, it was right there, no, whatever, etc. So, Yaakov wanted to, you know, Menachem the Avelim. So he said, let me tell you something I heard from Moshe Rosenstein, who was the Mashkiach of Lomisha. So this is before the war. I heard a shmooze from him once. And he said the following. We see it's a little bit of a question. It says, on the one hand, we say, Ani ma'ami b'muna shleima, shabor yisbach shemo, asa ose v'yase l'kol amasi. What does that mean? I believe completely, full faith that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and will do, kol amasi, meaning everything is Hashem. Whatever happens is Hashem, whatever is happening is Hashem, whatever will happen is all Hashem. Everything is Hashem. He does everything. Hu ose v'yase l'kol amasi. Hashem does everything. Everything that goes on is Hashem. Okay. So, yet, we are told we have to do. We have to do. Do this, do that. You know, do this. So what is it? Am I supposed to do hishtadlis? Am I supposed to do? Or is Hashem doing? Is it me or is it Hashem? So, the famous answer the Bali Musar give is it's on the one. Really, it's Hashem doing everything. But Hashem says, even though I'm doing it, but you have to go through the actions. You have to pretend you're doing it. You have to go through the actions, do your ishtalas, but lamaisa, bottom line, Hashem says, I'm doing it. Famous answer. So says Rav Moshe Eisenstein, a big yesoid. He says, this whole concept of ishtalas is that I have to go about the actions, that's only a future thing. In other words, right now, from now on, what I'm doing right now, I gotta do now. But in the past, what happens in the past happened in the past. That's all Hashem. Nothing to do with you. You only what you have to do. But Lamais, when you look in the past, Hashem did. Everything's Hashem. Everything's only Hashem. What happened in the past? Meaning, you have no right and no reason to feel bad about what happened in the past, because that's only Hashem. You are just something shtadlis you got to do now. But what happens, whatever you do, it doesn't matter, because what happened in the past is it was all Hashem. And therefore, he says, somebody, says that, if I would have done this differently, if only I would have done this differently, he says, that's kfira. If only I would have done, no, that the past is all Hashem. So afterwards, the family had said that you know, of all the people that came to Menachem, said Rabbi Yaakov, he was the one who really gave the real nechama. He was telling him, we didn't see the Mishina. Well, that's in the past. That's all Hashem. Hashem wanted it. What happened. It's nothing to feel bad about. You feel bad. Why didn't I? That's kfira. So he says he was the greatest Menachem. And then he said, I didn't Menachem. It was Moshe Rosenstein. That was Menachem. Mashkiach. So he said, Lamaisa, it's a pasuk. La'adam mar chelev, umiyashem ma'anel lashon. A person thinks, is ma'ar chelev, he calculates, he says, what am I going to say? What I'm going to say this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say this. And then what happens? Sometimes you say the wrong thing. And in the end, you look back and say, why did I say that? I wanted to say, why did I say? Because in the end, umiyashem ma'anel lashon. It's all Hashem in the end. Hashem ma'anel lashon. You have all your plans, what you want to do, what you want to say, but in the end, Hashem, what comes out is all Hashem. Therefore, there's nothing to feel bad about. So he says, there's nothing that's not sin to do in the Torah. We have a nice remez in this week's Sedra. It says by the wife of Lot that she's not supposed to turn back and look at the destruction of Sodom. And she looked back. But what did the pasuk say? Al tabit acharecha. Don't look behind you. So he said that's a hint to this idea, right? When it comes to what you're doing now, fine, but don't look behind you. Oh, why did I do this? Why didn't I do that? Why don't behind? That's nothing for you to look at. I'd like to add my own two cents, something I've said a number of times. I'd like to tina that's perhaps why Hashem created man with his eyes in front of him. Right? Hashem could have made two eyes in front, two eyes in the back. It would be very convenient. You know, you see who's walking behind you, what's coming from behind, you know, whatever. But Hashem created man, only two eyes in front. Why? I was thinking it's the same idea. Hashem wants to teach us a lesson. Well, just look ahead. Don't look behind you. What happened, that's all Hashem. And he has a very beautiful taich, says that Lot was not allowed to look behind him. Right? And his wife was not supposed to look. Why? Because the Shekhinah was there destroying stone. So what do we see from here? So he said the limud is that anybody that looks behind him, what does he see? The Shekhinah. It's all Hashem. Behind you, that's completely Hashem. That's the Shekhinah. So listen. Okay. Brings an interesting point. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Avram Avinu, as we know, he was Midas HaChesed. Kind, you know, Midas HaChesed. Sarah is Midas HaDin, which is the same Midah that she gave over to her son Yitzhak, Gvura, Din. Right? It says, V'nei ben l'Sara Ishtecha. Says that your wife Sarah is going to have a son, meaning the son is going to have her Midah. And we know Yitzhak Avinu was Midas Gvura, Din, so that was Sarah. Okay, so here we have Avram, you know, the soft, you know, chesed, whatever, and Sarah, din, gvura, right? Strength. Plus, we know that Chazal tell us that Sarah had a greater level of nevuah than even Avram Avinu. Right? It says that Rashi brings it down. It's just that Sarah was, that Avram was tougher than Sarah in nevuah. He was second to Sarah in nevuah. Sarah had a greater nevuah. Okay. So, if you were to ask, what do you think? Here we have Avram, soft person, level nevuah, not so great as Sarah, who was big level nevuah, very strong. And we have a Kedis Yitzchak. Now, who do you think is going to be affected emotionally greater from this whole mice of the Kedis Yitzchak? One would say, of course, Avram, because he's soft, chesed, and he's not so great as Sarah. Sarah, who's din, gvura, nevuah, right? She would, no problem, I can take the keda, no problem. Meanwhile, we find totally the opposite, right? Avram, if he knew, was told to take Yitzchak, he goes, he gets up early, takes Yitzchak, takes him, you know, puts him on his bayat, ties him up, right? And what happened? Sorry, Menu. She only heard that what had happened about, oh, your son was taken for Nikeda, and she died. So, well, what's going on? It should be the opposite. Avram should have died when he already has to bring his son for a gate. And yet we find Avram goes through the whole thing, and yes, and Sarah, this Gvura, this din, she's like, this is years about it, dies. So he says here, very big yesod, and that is that when a person is given a nisayin, important to say it like that, a person is given a nisayin from Hashem, then he's given with that the strength to pass the test. This a famous Chazal says that a person is not given a test unless he can handle. Meaning, what the greater meaning of that is, that along with the test, Hashem gives with the test the koach to be able to handle the test. Up to you, though. You can, you know, use the koach that you're given and pass it, or you can not. That's your free choice. But you're given the strength to pass the test with the test. Mimele says that's the answer to the question. Avram Avinu is given the test of the Akedah. It was a test for Avram Avinu, his Nisayim. So, how is he able to handle it? Because he was given the strength to pass it with the test. Okay, he had to use the strength, like we said, and he did. And that's why it was a test, and he passed it. But he was given the opportunity to pass. He was given the strength, if he wanted to pass the test, and that's what he did. Sorry, Meinu, she wasn't given the test of Kedus Yitzhak. That was her Avraham Avinu. Since she wasn't given the test, it was only the Satan that came and said, oh, you know, you're Satan. Since it wasn't a test that was given to her, personally, that's why she couldn't handle it and she died. Because a test that's given to a person, he's given the kochas to pass it. Sarah wasn't given the kochas to pass it, so it wasn't her test, and therefore she wasn't able to. So he says, therefore, we see from here two very important points. First of all, you can't say that, as people you hear say, well, this test is too hard for me. I can't do it. It's too much. It's something I just can't do it. Hashem gave me a test I can't now. It's not true. Because with the test comes the koach to pass the test. If you got the test, you got the koach to pass the test along with it. It goes together. That's number one. And the second point, he says, that we see from here, that's not any less important, is that because of this, a person has to be careful not to put himself in a test that is not given by Hashem. As we find by the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Zayin, by David HaMelech, it says, La'olam al yavi adam atzmo lidei nisayon, says the Gemara. A person should not bring himself ever to a nisayon, to a test. Why? Sherei David Melech Yisrael hevi atzmo lidei nisayon, v'nichshol. David brought himself to a test, and he failed. So he asks, he goes, what's pshat? David Mel didn't think, you know, he misjudged himself. He says, oh, I think I could pass. Oops, I guess I could. He says, no, that's not the pshat. He missed this point that we learned tonight. And that is what? That with a test given by Hashem, you're given the koach to pass. But if the test isn't given to you by Hashem, if you put the test on yourself, you're not given the strength to pass it. You're not given the koach to pass it. So therefore, David HaMelech took I'm going to put myself through this test. Put yourself through the test. Good luck. Because Hashem's not giving you the koach to pass the test, because he didn't give you the test. So therefore, that's the reason why, as we see, a person is not supposed to put himself in through a test and says, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to discover, no, you shouldn't do it, and you can't do that. Why? Because it's going to be very difficult to pass since you're not given the strength. Only the test given from Hashem comes with that test of the ability to pass it. Okay. One last idea. An interesting little ara. We'll end with this. He says, I have a question. So how old was Yitzchak at the Akedah? So it's very simple cheshbon. Very simple cheshbon, right? Sarah was how old when she gave birth to Yitzchak? 90. And then she died, right, next week's Sedra, Meya Esrim Vesheva, right? She died at 127. So how did she die? So we just learned, she died because she heard about the Akedah. She was Akedah, so she died at the Akedah. She heard about the Akedah, okay? So she was gave birth to Yitzchak at 90. She died when the Akedah was at 127. So from 90 to 127 is 37. So therefore, Yitzchak Avinu was 37 years old at the time of the Akedah. Fine. Then he got married. How old was he when he married? The Torah says, Ben Arbeim Shana, Bekachtot Rivka. When he got married to Rivka, he was 40 years old. Meaning, how long transpired from the Akedah till he got married? 3 years. From 37 to 40. Okay? Simple question. So he asks a very interesting question. He says, wait a second. We see the end of the Sedra, right? Avraham Avinu goes to the Akedah. And he on the way, he says to his attendants, Yishmael and Eliezer, take note at Eliezer. And he said, as Midrash says, the Yom HaShlishi, he said, do you see that cloud attached to the mountain up ahead? Do you see that? He turned to Yitzhak, and he asked the two Narim, do you see? And they said, no. He asked Yitzhak, do you, Yitzhak, see the Anan on the har? Yitzhak said, yes, I see it, Dad. So said Avram, turned to Eliezer and Yishmael. Fine, Shvulachem po imachamor. Says, you are like a bunch of chamorim. You can't see this cloud on the har. You're like a bunch of chamorim. Okay, so Avram Avinu at the Akedah, this was at the Akedah, before the Akedah, right? Called Eliezer a chamor. He said, you're a chamor. You can't see that. I'm a domel a chamor. You're like a donkey. Okay, call him a donkey. So he says, wait a second. 3 years later, Avraham finds a ship for Yitzhak, right? And who's the Shadchan? Eliezer, right? Who does he send? He sends Eliezer, who's a Moshel b'chol asher lo, says Chazal b'reishis rabba, sh'ayah shalit b'yitzro kamoto. He was control of his Yitzhak Hara like Avraham Avinu. He was a tzaddik like Avraham Avinu. He says, what happened? 3 years ago, he's a chamor, and just three short years later, Avram sends him to find a thing, because he's shalit b'yitzro like Avram Avinu. What happened? So he says, you know what happened? Eliezer was a man who was able to take Musar. Right? Avram said, shvulachem boy, I'm a chamor, you're a chamor. So he said, oh yeah, I'm a chamor. No, he didn't say that. He said, oh, took the Musar. I'm a chamor. I got to work on myself. I'm cursed. I'm like an animal. And he did. And in 3 short years, he became Eliezer. 3 short years. That's the godless of Eliezer. That's a lesson we have to take, that we could do it too. Right? Whatever levels we're on, we can become our Avraham Avinu. When it doesn't take that long, we put on an effort. So Hashem should see our efforts and crown our efforts with the bringing of the Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yimhira Miyamim.